Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I was talking about this mountain on Mars. It's called Olympus Mons, and it's big. It's three times the height of Mount Everest. And, of course, you're familiar with Mount Everest. That is reputed to be the tallest mountain on this planet. Well, Olympus Mons holds the title for being the tallest mountain in our solar system. We don't know of another mountain on another planet in our solar system that is taller than Olympus Mons. And these are some scientists doing some edge science here. By edge science, I simply mean, I don't mean that they are being unscientific. I mean that what they are doing is pushing the envelope of information about a planet where the establishment would like for us to think that it's just red, it's dead, there's nothing happening there, and there is no life there. Well, all of that's beginning to fade away. But on this show, I have, and you, if you've been listening for some time, you know that while I praise science, and I think very highly of scientists that think outside the box and that push the envelope a little further, push the edge of the envelope, I think very highly of them. I don't think much at all of establishment scientists who are just sort of rooted in concrete. These are the guys, and you've heard me say this, these are the guys that at one point in our history told us the Earth was flat. These are the guys that at one point in our history threatened to kill a scientist by the name of Copernicus for saying that the Earth is round. These are the guys that at one point threatened to kill another scientist for saying not only is the Earth round, but guess what? It's not the center of the universe. It's in orbit around the sun with all the other planets. And so establishment science always tries to preserve the status quo. Now, maybe it's a necessary function. I mean, I'm willing to admit that maybe that's a necessary function. Someone has to sort of, you know, throw the anchor out, I guess, and sort of, you know, hold the line. And it serves the purpose of forcing the edge scientists to really prove up what they claim they have discovered. So it serves a purpose, I guess. But I'm not. I'm pretty critical of establishment scientists. I've called them intellectual mudsuckers, and I think they are. But I don't think that all scientists are intellectual mudsuckers. I certainly don't think that Dr. Michio Kaku is an intellectual mudsucker. This guy is way out ahead of the band. And, you know, I really admire him and his work. I don't think that Einstein was an intellectual mudsucker. Einstein was way out ahead of the band. And in fact, took a lot of heavy criticism from the mudsuckers when he proposed his general theory of relativity and special theory of relativity. They laughed at him. But you've heard me say that with respect to these intellectual mudsuckers, they've been ridiculing and laughing and just making life miserable on anyone who doesn't buy the establishment status quo, anyone who questions the status quo. And you have to understand that what is today the status quo was yesterday pushing the edge of the envelope. How is it that the guys who pushed the edge of the envelope to the point where we are have now, many of them, become status quo, saying that's it? We've proven that that is the edge of the envelope, and it goes no further. And you've heard me say that the shoe is now on the other foot. those who have been ridiculed are now in a position where we ridicule them. Especially if you listen to this show, you hear me ridicule them. And you know, I've actually had scientists on this show where they were saying something, and I said, I'm sorry, I don't buy that. And here's why. It's kind of a funny thing that happens sometimes, the reaction you get, because they expect that whenever they, someone with these high credentials, when they make a statement, you're supposed to just accept it. Well, I don't. Look, it doesn't matter to me if a bricklayer or a mechanical engineer says something. I don't believe the mechanical engineer over the bricklayer. If they're both talking about building a building, I listen carefully to both of them. Sometimes the guy on the ground, the guy with his feet on the ground and his hands in the mortar, knows more about that building than the guy who drew it on paper. Not always, but sometimes. And you need to keep that in mind and keep that balance. Well, there's an article out today. This came out in Live Science. At livescience.com, and it's really a good article. It's called The Modern Problem, Everyone's an Expert. Now, for copyright purposes, I can't read you the whole article, but I can read you selections from it. And I'm going to read you the first paragraph. It says, modern society depends on experts or people with specialized skills and experience in certain areas. But scientists have found a growing number of people challenging their expertise, even on issues where strong scientific agreement exists. I hope sincerely, that's a quote. Now, I hope sincerely that at least in some way, to some small degree, that this show has been instrumental in causing that. I hope that at least to some small degree we have had an impact in causing that. Scientists should be challenged. They should not expect that just because they have a PhD that we're just going to buy what they have to say. And here are some reasons why. Now, I'm painting with a very broad brush. I understand that. When I say scientists, I'm lumping a whole lot of people into that statement, that many of them don't deserve to be in the statement that I'm going to make, but I have to communicate it some way. Scientists told us that there were no planets outside of this solar system. And ladies and gentlemen, they did that right up till 1995. And now we know about 300 of them, more than 300 of them. But right up till 1995, they were telling us there are no other planets out there outside of this solar system. Well, it simply was not the truth. Now, you might say, well, that was the best information they had at the time. That's the point. You see, the point is that the general consensus was not saying, well, we don't know. We haven't found any out there. All we can tell you is that we don't know of any out there. They weren't wording it that way. They were saying, and they were doing it in terms of extraterrestrial civilizations. They were saying, well, there can't be any extraterrestrial life out there. There aren't even any other planets out there. Well, now we know either they were lying or they were dead wrong. Either way, their opinion on the opinion meter rates a zero. Now, we could go down the list of things, one after the other, after the other, after the other, where scientists have been proven wrong. There's nothing wrong with proposing a theory and having that theory shown to be in error later. That is science. That's what science is supposed to be about. Science is supposed to be about someone who has an inquisitive mind and looks at a particular situation and asks questions about that situation and then begins to do very meticulous, measured scientific investigation of it and try to answer the question. There is nothing wrong with that. And then after a very long and meticulous study of this, they propose a theory, maybe a hypothesis at first and then later a theory. It becomes, do you know the difference? A hypothesis is very much like a theory, but it's untested. Based on everything we've looked at, our hypothesis is X. Now, other scientists then take all of that data and they replicate the experiments and they try to replicate the results. After a long time with a whole lot of scientists replicating the experiment and getting the same results, the hypothesis moves to the status of a theory. So at first, it's a hypothesis. Well, then you put the hypothesis out there and people start checking it and they determine maybe that what you have proposed doesn't work. Maybe they determine that it only works under very narrow circumstances, or maybe they just can't get it to work at all. And anyway, they show that your hypothesis is wrong. There must be some flaw in your data or some flaw in the experiment that you ran. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. That is science. However, whenever someone comes along peddling something that is truly only a hypothesis and calling it a theory or a law, and they tell us, well, all the scientists agree on this, the great majority agree on this. Look, the great majority of scientists one time agreed the earth was flat. The great majority of scientists at one time agreed that it was impossible for humans to ride on a speeding locomotive if it went faster than 20 miles an hour, because all the oxygen would rush out of the train and they would suffocate. The majority of the scientists at one time scoffed at the idea of microbes living in little drops of water and those little buggers were killing us. They scoffed at that. The majority. So when they come to us now crying, and here's listen to this. The prospect of a society that entirely rejects the values of science and expertise is too awful to contemplate. Well, I don't think so. Scientists, listen to this again. Scientists have found a growing number of people challenging their expertise, even on issues where strong scientific agreement exists. Duh. After you guys have been so wrong, so long, so often, what do you expect? What do you expect? One of the things that just really chaps me is when these guys, who couldn't even get the shape of the earth right, you know, they finally got that right after threatening to kill the two guys that figured it out. They finally came around, and now they want to tell us, well, you should believe it because the majority of scientists believe it. I believe it because I've seen pictures of it. I don't believe anything just because the majority of scientists believe it. You guys one time told us it was flat. So just because you got a PhD and just because you wear a lab coat, you have absolutely no right to expect that thinking rational people are going to buy what you say. We'll consider it. I don't think we ought to just discount what a scientist says. Not at all. No. We ought to listen, but we ought to think too. And when a scientist comes around and starts, you know, and they do this. Some of you have called in about Bill Nye, the science guy, showing up on Larry King as some sort of an expert on UFOs and debunking them and he got it all wrong, used the wrong data and stated all the wrong stuff. Look, when you guys in the lab coats and the PhDs, when you start speaking as experts, you're automatically suspect. If you speak as someone who says, you know, I've taken a look at this, I've really examined this carefully, and here's my data, here's what I think is going on, but, you know, I could be wrong about this, but here's my data and why I think this hypothesis is correct. When you do that, it's a little different. What they've done is they want to marshal science to come up with all these bogus explanations for UFOs. Now, that really just chaps me, not because I'm a UFO believer. I'm not a UFO believer. I've told you so many times, and for those of you who are new, why would you believe in UFOs? Do you believe in this piece of paper? Well, you're asking yourself, well, what is there to believe? Exactly. It's either there or it's not. There's nothing to believe. It's either there or it's not. The same thing is true with UFOs. They either exist or they don't. There's nothing to believe. Now, there's miles and miles and miles of footage of UFOs. Most of you have never been to Paris. You've never seen the Eiffel Tower. But you've seen pictures of it, and you have no doubt that it's there. You've heard other people that said, I was there, I saw it. And you've seen pictures of it. And you would say, well, I know it exists. But you've never personally seen it. Same with UFOs, isn't it? We'll be back right after this. Right, as I said before the break, isn't that the same with UFOs? Maybe you've never seen one. Why would you, let me speak to those of you who say, I'm not going to believe in UFOs until I personally see one landing in my backyard. Okay, let me talk to you. Do you buy the idea that the Statue of Liberty exists? Now, some of you have personally seen it, but if you haven't, would you say it exists? Your answer is going to be yes. Well, why do you think it exists? Well, because you've seen videos of it, and you've seen pictures of it, and you've heard people talk about having seen it. They've been there. What about the Eiffel Tower? I mentioned that one earlier. Does it exist? Well, yeah. How do you know? Well, you've seen pictures of it. You've seen videos and films where it's in it. And you've heard people talk about having seen it. What about the Great Pyramid in Egypt? Some of you have been there. Some of you haven't. Those who have not. Does it exist? Well, of course it exists. How do you know? Well, you've seen pictures of it. You've seen films and video with it in it. And you've heard people talk about having visited there. So what we're talking about is photographs, video, and testimonies of witnesses. When it comes to UFOs, what do we have? Photographs, videos, and testimonies of witnesses. Have we had any scientists, think about this, and you scientists, we've got a bunch of scientists that watch this. We have some science organizations and some government science agencies that are tuned into this show every night. Maybe they didn't know I know that, but I do. I read the server logs. Yeah, NASA is watching tonight. I'm quite certain the National Institute of Health is watching. They normally are tuned in. So you scientists, listen. Has there been a single scientist that you know of that has gone on television and written books trying to prove the Eiffel Tower is a hallucination or it's some sort of natural phenomena that can be explained away? Have they? What about the Great Pyramid? When's the last time a NASA scientist or a doctor or scientist from the National Institute of Health went on television or wrote books or appeared on a talk show trying to convince us that it's really not there and people are, you know, it's sleep paralysis. People are dreaming that it's there. It's some kind of natural phenomena that's taking place and causing people to hallucinate that it's there or think that it's there. You wouldn't even consider doing that. You would be laughed right off this planet. Well, I'm here to tell you scientists who are quite concerned, according to the article. Let me read this again. Scientists have found a growing number of people challenging their expertise, even on the issues where strong scientific agreement exists. I'm here to tell you scientists that have been just barraging us, hitting us with a barrage, that's a better way of saying it, of nonsense science telling us that the photographs, the videos, and the personal eyewitness testimonies about UFOs, it's all fake. You've been telling us that? I'm here to tell you, you deserve our ridicule, and you're getting it, and you will continue to get it, because you are nonsensical. From my estimation, you're just nuts. But I'm not very kind about it. You see, I'm nothing but a cop. As a cop, somebody tells me they saw something or they heard something. It's not up to me to believe it. It's not up to me to not believe it. It's up to me to investigate it. And then it's up to me to just write a report about my investigation. It's not then the next step for me to try and ridicule this person. If I couldn't prove up what they said, it's not up to me to try and ridicule this person and say they didn't see it, they didn't hear it. It's just up to me to say this was reported, here's what I investigated, here's how I investigated it, and then that's it. No opinions about it. There's what they said, here's what I found. Now, as a cop, you see, I know that I'm not perfect. And I know that there are such things as cold cases. And I know that sometimes the police officer who investigates something, he does his best with it, but he's not perfect. And there's just one some little something that he didn't think of. And years later, someone comes along, or months later, someone comes along, another cop comes along, and they read what he did, and this second cop thinks, well, I wonder why he didn't do this. So he goes to do it. And then, when he does it, it all falls into place, and the person's story gets proved up. Happens all the time. But scientists that are in this mudsucker group, scientists that are in this status quo group, are really as emotional about what they're doing and as unscientific about what they're doing as what they accuse religionists of being. In this article that was on Live Science, there are some people quoted, and they talk about that. Listen to this. Science's findings are to be preferred over religion's revealed truths. I'm not religious, but right away I've got to ask you, why? Why do you think that science findings are to be preferred over religious revealed truths? Why? You think it's because you guys have been more accurate? I'm not saying that religion has been accurate, but you think you've got a better batting average? Well, you didn't even believe that there were microbes and bacteria in little drops of water. You didn't even believe that we would have planets outside this solar system. You said there were no planets outside this solar system. Your batting average is about 1,000% wrong. On almost every issue, you status quo scientists have been wrong. So why do you think that science's findings are to be preferred over religion's revealed truths? I'm not so sure that that's correct. I don't buy that just because religion says something, it's true. But are you trying to get me to buy that because you say something, it's true? Why should we think that the group that has been wrong so long, so often, about so many things, why do you think we should buy that your findings are to be preferred over religion's revealed truths? Now, that's nonsense. Now, I'm going to show you something. I've got an article here from Science Daily. Now, this article attempts to tell us that whenever people see UFOs, it's probably sprites. Now, sprites are little electric flashes that appear above most thunderstorms. Of course, it can happen, and someone can say, I don't know what it was. But when I see a thunderstorm up above, and way up there I see some flashing, you know, my mind says that's probably lightning. Even if I can't see a bolt of lightning, I see a flash of light. My mind doesn't say, that's a UFO. I don't know anybody else who does. But this article attempts to tell us that, you know, a lot of the UFO sightings are actually this natural phenomenon called sprites. And I've just got a real problem with that. I'm going to show you something. Now, this, those of you who are watching, this is a photograph of sprites. This photograph was provided to the Science Daily article by ILAN Science Team. All right, now, while it is unusual, there's nothing about that that looks like a UFO, right? I'm going to show you something else. This is a video of taken through night vision. Now, that object that you just saw flash, you might say, okay, well, maybe that is an airplane. I don't think it is, but keep watching. Because I want to ask you something. When you see what you're about to see, you tell me if you think it's an airplane. Tell me if you think that's lightning, if that's sprites. Whatever that is, it is hauling booty across the sky. And it's a series of lights in the shape of an A. Now that is not ball lightning. That's not sprites. That's not some type of Chinese wedding candles. What do you think? Now, when scientists come along and try to tell us that, you know, we're uneducated, you see, and so we don't really understand how this works, and they give us some sort of nonsense science to explain it. I don't know about you, but in my mind says, who the heck do you think you are? I may not have a PhD in astrophysics, but I've had eyes all my life, and I sure as heck am not stupid. Now, this happened right after, you might remember this, I took this on right after the Mexican government released that video of, it was from one of their Mexican Air Force planes, where they saw something on radar, and they thought that it might be a plane loaded with illegal drugs, and so they flew to the location. They could still see it on radar, but there was nothing there. So they turned on their infrared FLIR and turned on the videotaping or the cameras, and they saw UFOs, 11 of them, flying around the airplane. They could not see them with their eyes. They could not see them at all, except in infrared, on the infrared scope. Well, the video of what the FLIR saw was released. And I said on the day that it was released, I said, you watch what happens. Here's the spin that the media is going to start putting on this. And what I predicted started the next day. We'll be back right after this. I was talking about the nonsense science that has been marshaled against normal people to make us look like we are not normal. And I was talking about the deal with the Mexican Air Force video released by the Ministry of Defense, Mexican Ministry of Defense. And I said, you watch what's going to happen. And I described a series of things I thought would happen. I said the very first thing that's going to happen is we're going to start seeing guys with PhDs on their name come out and give us some sort of nonsense explanation for these UFOs that are around that airplane. The next day, there was a PhD scientist saying, well, you know, it could have been a meteor that broke up, and they were seeing the bits of the meteor fly past them. Well, I went right on the air with that, and some of you remember it. I said, that is an absolute lie. They didn't see anything with their eyes. They did not see any lights. They did not see any bits of meteor. They did not see any UFOs with their eyes. They saw nothing with their eyes. It was on the infrared. It was on the infrared. Now, maybe there was something wrong with their FLIR. Well, let's see. It's the same FLIR that's used on U.S. military airplanes. It was sold to them by the same people. And it was checked out, and everything checked out fine. There was nothing wrong with it. Then on the news, you can still see this on YouTube, on the news, there's the anchor saying, a Mexican Air Force crew saw some fast-moving lights and think they saw UFOs. No, they did not. They did not see fast-moving lights. They did not see lights, slow-moving, stationary, or fast-moving. What they got were hits on the infrared and recorded it on the cameras. Now, what has this got to do with anything? Well, let me ask you again. I'm going to show you once again a night vision video. It's the same one we saw, and this shows a very large craft in the upper reaches of the atmosphere, perhaps at the edge of space. It is shaped like the letter A. We see the lights all together shaped, arranged like the letter A, flying really rapidly across the sky. All right. Now, when science comes along, some scientist comes along and starts trying to tell us that that's Chinese wedding candles that people were seeing, or that's swamp gas, or whatever, that insults our intelligence. As I said, I may not have a PhD in astrophysics or astrobiology or astronomy, but I'm not stupid. I can see this, and you tell me it's wedding candles? You're some kind of nut. And then you're upset as a scientist because the public is now rejecting and challenging a lot of the scientific community's findings. Well, here's why. It's because, number one, you've been wrong so long about so many things. Number two, and it's been proven you were wrong. Number two, you have outright lied to us again and again and again, complicit with the cover-up on UFOs. Now, if maybe you say, well, I can't tell you the truth. Okay, then shut up. But don't come out and lie to us and ridicule and try to make us think that somehow we're less intelligent than you. We've caught you lying so many times, scientists, outright lying and complicit with the cover-up on UFOs, telling lies and ridiculing people and destroying lives and careers over your lies. Why do you think we would have any trust in you? Why do you think we would not challenge what you say? You know, I love NASA. I'm a NASAphile. But I don't buy everything they say. And when NASA has been caught changing the colors on Mars, caught! It's provable. When they've been caught airbrushing things out of pictures, it is provable. You can see it with your eyes. Why do you think we would believe you, NASA, when you tell us things about Mars? Or about the moon? It's also true of them doing that on the moon. Why do you think we would believe you? Why do you think we should? It's not like you've gotten away with something here. You've been caught. We know you do it. Why do you think that we would believe you? We're not going to. What's going to change here is not public opinion, but what's going to change here is your actions. If you want the public to believe you, if you want the public to have confidence in you, you're going to have to understand that you have been caught with your pants down. You've been caught lying, and you have to change your actions in order to get and gain the trust of the public again. It's really that simple. It's not us. We're not going to change. It's us who have been victimized by your lies. We're not going to change. You are. Now, I support NASA. I support NASA having their budget doubled. I think they should. And I think that NASA then should really get serious about space exploration. I mean, really get after it. All this stuff about it's going to take us the next 200 years to get over to Mars, forget that. Let's go. The technology exists. Let's do it. Let's go. Let's get it done. But while it is true that I support that, it is also true that I support, before you get it, that there is a complete overhaul from the inside out, and everyone who's been lying to us has to go. You've been lying to us. You've been complicit in the cover-up. You've been complicit in ridiculing and misleading. If you have, those of you who have, you need to be out of a job. And to the extent that I can influence that, I have, and I do, and I will. I'm just one voice, but I will use that one voice to continue to call your hand, you scientists, I will continue to call your hand on the nonsense science that you belch out and that gets used to ridicule and to discredit normal, reasonable, rational people who can see that what you're doing is a lie. Okay, so you ridicule me. So what? So you hate me. So what? I'm the one with the microphone. I'm the one that people are listening to. You're the one, you scientists, you're the ones crying because people are challenging what you think you're an expert at. Do you think it's us that's going to change? Not going to happen. It's you. You either change or go down in flames. It's really that simple. You're either going to have to come clean with the truth and stop all this nonsense, BS, or you're going down in flames. The heat is on. The public has outrun your nonsense spin. We're not buying it anymore. And we're not going to take it anymore. And if you want us to take you seriously, maybe you ought to take us seriously. Maybe that ought to be your next step. Maybe you ought to seriously consider that even if I don't have a degree in astrophysics, I'm not stupid. And that guy over there and that lady over there and those over there, maybe they don't have the degrees you have, but they're not stupid. They can see what's going on. And they know what you've been doing. Maybe if you were to take us seriously, like a few scientists do, and communicate to us like we are serious thinking individuals, like Michio Kaku does, and a few others, maybe you would gain the respect and trust of the masses again. I think you would. But until you do, it's going to get worse and worse and worse for you. No one takes you seriously because you've been caught lying and you've been caught ruining careers over your lies. Do you know if a prosecutor does what you scientists do that tell these fantastic lies and use them to ridicule people? If a prosecutor does that and gets caught, he loses his license to practice law. And very often ends up going to jail. I suggest the same remedy for you. We'll be back right after this. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I've got lots more to say, but I will forego that because I want to open up the telephone lines for you so that we can hear what you've got to say. What about this nonsense science stuff? Are you ticked off about it? I mean, do you get tired of being told you're stupid by guys who very often have been caught lying to us and lying about us? Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin.
Hi.
This is Don here calling from Phoenix.
Hi, Don.
Yeah, you know, I was going to comment on this so-called established science, but then you mentioned about the airbrushing, and yeah, that's always really kind of ticked me off. Because if they really want to hide this stuff, the airbrushing is such poor job. They could get professionals that could, you know, really cover that stuff up. But they either don't care or they think we're just a bunch of ignorant people that can't even see what they're doing. I think a five-year-old child can make out that they airbrushed something out of there.
Well, yeah, and it's too late now. See, and here's one of the things that, they've really only got one option now. They've been caught, and whatever they do in the future, if they come back, let's say there's a photograph where they've airbrushed something out. Then they come back and give us a photograph, and it's not airbrushed out, but they've photoshopped in some rocks and mountains and stuff like that. Nobody's going to believe that. Okay? We know the shape of what got airbrushed out, and if they just give us the surrounding rocks now, nobody's going to believe it. So they've got one option. That's be true. Or continue to be labeled as frauds and liars.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think it just happens to in the established scientific world where we're talked down to and dumbed down, but I think it starts at an early age from the time we're conditioned into religion, you know. We're brought up to... Excuse me?
We're listening to you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting a lot of feedback. From the time we're conditioned into religion, you know, we're taught to believe a certain way. Then we get older, and then people will chuckle at you about UFOs, but yet they'll believe anything and everything that they've been conditioned into about the Bible. And you ask them why, and he says, well, that's the way I was taught. And without any evidence, without any proof or anything, we walk into a Best Buy electronics store, and we ask the kid in there about some electronic component, VCR, wherever, and if the kid doesn't know, he fills in the blanks because he doesn't want to look stupid. And it's the same thing with the scientific world. They go to college. They learn a certain way by these very smart professors, and the professors have got to teach you because the university's got guidelines of what they can teach you and what they can't teach you. So the graduate student comes out of school conditioned to a certain way, and they will not accept any other way because they've been conditioned to that way.
Well, and that again underscores what I say, that what is today passing as science is a religion. It's a faith.
Right. That's the way I look at it, too. I think science today is a religion, just like you say.
Well, you know, it's one of the things that this article pointed out is that so many people in the so-called sciences are behaving in a way that backfires on them because it gives the impression that it is a religion. Well, yeah, duh, it is. It is. That's why it looks like a religion. An orange looks like an orange because that's what it is. And a banana looks like a banana because that's what it is. And these establishment science guys, all that looks like a religion because that's what it is.
You know, the thing about this, it happens in every single area. I remember going to my medical doctor years ago when I was younger, and I would talk about vitamins, and these doctors would say, well, you know, all you're doing is producing a bunch of expensive urine. They don't do nothing for you. But years ago, I would read about things by the nutritionists, what they would say vitamins would do. And it was years later that then the medical association would come in out and would say, well, vitamin D does this, vitamin E does that. And the nutritionist already knew this years ago, but then they would say none of that stuff was true. It's like slow at coming around.
Well, I really liked this article that was at Live Science because it exposed some of what you hear me talk about on this show, and it exposed it, written by a writer for Live Science, and it quotes some scientists, and you know, but it exposes some of what you've heard me talk about. I really liked it, but I still say to these folks, it isn't us that has to change, it's you lying, fraudulent scientists. Now, not all scientists are liars and frauds. Some of them are doing really good science, and they're pushing the edge of the envelope, and they're asking the questions that the establishment scientists think are crazy. But, you know, those people are making the discoveries and providing the progress, and I'm not including them in my rant against establishment science. I praise those people.
It makes you wonder how much taught science has hindered us in our ability to advance in the world by them not wanting to accept anything. They quote everything as fact instead of saying, well, we don't really know enough yet.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's say that there was some really terrible epidemic of some kind. People were getting really sick and dying, and it's something new that our, you know, we've not been exposed to it before. And so the scientists come along, and everybody that gets this disease dies from it. We'll say Ebola. You get it, you die. And the scientists come along, and they say, look, here's the deal. We have a drug. It's highly experimental. We don't know if it's going to work or not. But it's the best thing we've got going right now. Would I, if I had contracted Ebola, would I take that drug? You bet I would. But they don't need to come along and say, this will cure you. Okay? Because it might not. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If they just tell us the truth, we'll accept it. Just tell us the truth. You know, maybe it will help you, and maybe it won't. Would I try it? Yes, I would try it.
I don't think it's all the scientists' fault. I think it's the way that they're taught and conditioned from the time they enter grad school. Just like the professor, what was his name, that was started studying Bigfoot, and he was criticized, and he was they tried to oust him.
Dr. Meldrum. Yeah, Dr. Meldrum.
Yeah, Dr. Meldrum. Yeah, and I think that's the problem with so many of our universities. They do not allow out-of-the-box discussion and thinking.
Yeah. See, and his Ph.D. is in, he's an anatomist. His Ph.D. is in anatomy. All right, so he's looking at physical evidence out there of something, and he says, I don't know what it is. Let's investigate. And the physical evidence are all these huge footprints. And he's looked at some of them. He's gotten the he's done the plaster casting on a bunch of them. And his Ph.D. is in anatomy. So he's working within his field. But simply because he suggests, look, here's evidence. Something left a footprint, and it's huge. Well, that doesn't fit with establishment science. So you had two physicists that decided they were going to try to get him canned because he, quote, believes in Bigfoot, and that's an embarrassment to the university. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Don, because those two guys need to be canned.
Yeah, and I tell you, it's the idea that they don't want to go there. They don't want to go outside that box where we really learn things from. Instead, let's just keep ourselves in this box. Let's keep ourselves confined to what we think we know.
Yeah. It's sad, but it's also infuriating when they take their PhDs and try to beat us over the head and say that we're somehow ignorant and we're stupid, and, you know, that's not the case.
Right.
You know, if let's say you've got a scientist who's made some big discovery and nobody's buying it, but it's really a genuine discovery. It's not the public that's stupid. It's the scientist that hasn't learned how to communicate.
Yeah, the scientists that haven't learned how to think.
Yeah. Hey, Don, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Take care, Kevin.
All right. All right, folks, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. Again tonight. We change it up from time to time, but it's the same tonight as it was last night. 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Did you get to my email earlier today about Mars?
Describe it. I read about 350 emails so far today.
It was from the Mars Anomaly Research.
Yes, it had the pictures.
Yeah, it had the picture, especially the one about that fossil or that skeleton, which is obviously a skeleton. You don't need to be a scientist to be able to tell that is, there was vertebrae, there was a skull, there was a tail to it. You didn't need to be a scientist.
Are you talking about the one that looks like an eel?
Yeah, those pictures there, yeah.
After I looked at that, I went over to Google and to the images section and pulled up some photographs of eel skeletons, and guess what? That's what it looks like.
Well, you know, if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, you know, it just may be a duck, you know.
No, it's probably a banana.
Well, you know, with all this GMO and Monsanto and everything, even a banana isn't a banana anymore.
Yeah.
You want to talk about scientists and UFOs? I think last I heard, anyway, Stanton Friedman was a nuclear physicist. I think that's what he is.
That is what he is. He is a nuclear physicist.
The late great Carla Turner. Do you remember her?
I remember the name.
Yeah, she's a doctor and she's an abductee. So if people want to believe, say they have to believe scientists to believe in the UFOs or anything, well...
Well, yeah, and there are scientists that are legitimate, and either they say, look, I've looked at the evidence, and I'm convinced that UFOs are a reality, and whatever they say about it. There are some scientists that say that. There are other scientists that say... Well, the jury's still out. I'm not decided yet on what I think about this, but I'm looking at the evidence. Okay, not a problem. What I have a problem with are these idiots with PhDs that get on TV, they write articles, they write books, they go on talk shows, and they ridicule and chuckle and try to debunk UFOs and make life miserable on anyone. You know, they look down their noses at anyone who says, I saw a UFO. I saw. And they, well, it was probably Venus, you know.
Or guys like Bill Nye the Science Guy. I remember the last time I saw him on Larry King, he was trying to twist what Stanton Friedman was saying all around. He was trying to twist all the, like, the timings and timelines, everything. And if they can't attack the topic, they start attacking the researcher or twist whatever the researcher says around. They do it deliberately.
Yeah, it's lie, deny, and attack.
Bill Lie, the Science Guy, more like it. Yeah,
lie, deny, and attack. I saw a scientist one time, this was years ago, on a television talk show, and he was addressing this whole thing about the human footprint, the fossils of human footprints right next to some dinosaur footprints. And even though I'm not a, I don't buy the standard story of creation, and I'm not a religious person, this preacher had, in a debate, had mentioned those as evidence that evolution, as presented by Darwin, was certainly in error. Because you have human footprints right next to dinosaur footprints. Well, then this scientist said, I don't know why the good reverend would say such a thing, because it's just not true. It just never happened. Well, excuse me, it is true, and I have seen it. And it is in Encyclopedia Britannica. And, you know, I mean, it's, but they'll lie. They'll just lie and deny evidence and use their PhD to cover for it. And as I say, if you guys with those PhDs are feeling the heat, I hope I cause some of it. And I look to cause some more, because you, when you lie, deny, and attack, you got it coming back, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Kevin, you got another question or comment?
Well, not about it was going to be about Darwin, but I guess I want to get some room in for some other callers tonight, so I guess I'll call it a night for tonight.
All right, thanks for the call. All right, folks, 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. There are people who hear me say I'm not religious, and they assume I'm an atheist. There are people who hear me doing what I'm doing tonight, tap dancing on establishment science's head, and they assume that I'm anti-scientific. That's not the case either. I am pro-science, but all this crap that is being passed off as science and used to ridicule people, that's a religion. And I will call it what it is, and I'm not afraid to look you guys in the eye and tell you, you are dead wrong. And if you're doing it on purpose, you're liars. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
I'm Leah from Tennessee.
Hi, Leah. How are you?
Okay. I have to say amen. Your show's great.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Leah,
yeah, that's what keeps most people not reporting what they see when they see it, like me.
Yeah, you know, that's the whole purpose, in my opinion, the whole purpose for all of these, this bunch of lies and nonsense science is to discourage people from coming out in public and saying, well, you know, here's what I saw. And because, you know, you don't want to be laughed at. You don't want to be ridiculed by someone with a doctor in front of his name. Well, okay. To that extent, it has worked. Their strategy has worked.
Worked so good that you won't even tell your parents or your friends.
Yeah. But...
yeah, it's worked.
I think, you know, now they're beginning to feel the heat because the public is just saying, you guys are irrelevant. Okay, they're crying about it. Good. And as I said, it's not us that has to change. Either they change or they go down in flames here.
Well, I'm waiting for that day.
I've got the matches. I'm doing everything I can to light their fire.
Go.
Leah, have you had a strange experience that you didn't tell somebody?
Well, I've had a lot of them that I've been taught very well to shut up.
Uh-huh. Would you care to share some of that with us?
But, well, if you got a minute,
yeah,
I don't want to take you off time off what your subject's really good, but it's kind of about that, too.
Yeah, go ahead.
It kind of goes back to about 1999.
All right.
About this time of year, actually.
Mm-hmm.
My father had died of lymph cell cancer,
mm-hmm.
and when he died, my family disowned me, and my kids went down to Florida and was staying with their father, so I was alone.
Uh-huh.
And, well, needless to say, I wasn't in a really good frame of mind, but during this time, I was getting a lot of... sightings. UFO sightings. I was being followed home from work. I mm-hmm. worked at a gas station, come home about 1:30 in the morning, 2 o'clock. And of course, nobody would believe me
mm-hmm.
until one night I came home about 1:30 and one had followed me and actually landed in the field across the road from where I lived. I lived in this trailer park. And what was cool is the neighbor came home with me sitting on the hood of the car watching this UFO parked across in the field, just watching it, trying to figure out whether I was really seeing it or not. And he walked over to me and he says, "Do you see that?" I said, "Yeah." And he says, "Oh, good." And so we sat there and we watched it till about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And just suddenly it was gone. It didn't take off. It was just gone.
Just disappeared.
Well, that very same night, we didn't say anything to each other. We just went in our homes, and I went to bed, and I was having myself a good cry, feeling real sorry for myself, and just wishing I could just leave this world. I was done. I was tired.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this feeling of a presence in the room, and I felt it so close to me physically that I actually reached up and touched the back of me, and nobody was there. And then suddenly I went on this trip. I was taken to this tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else to explain it. And I was taken to a place. Now it just... I'm stuck. Okay.
It's okay.
I went to this portal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it seemed like, a portal. And it was through an archway, like it looked like a doorway made of stone.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't physically attached to a building. It was just freestanding. And when we went through this stone doorway, I wound up in a place that was had a looked like a tribe of Indians dressed. I can remember their dress and everything, and it looked very similar to the Hopi haircut and their old clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing a ritual ceremony dance around this fire that was huge. And when they I was surprised to see that they saw me. And they when they did, they came and they all rushed around me like they knew me.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very happy and welcoming, and I felt like I belonged there. And, well, I know it sounds really far-fetched, but it was so, I was so there.
Mm-hmm.
And they took me and they said I wanted to stay. I'm kind of skipping around, but I was involved with them and did their dance. I remember actually understanding the dance they were doing, the ritual, and I actually joined in with them. It was a dance I used to do when I was a little kid in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was time for me to go, I didn't want to go. But they said I had something special. They actually told me what it was, this job I was supposed to finish doing, what I volunteered to do. And they said I had to go.
Mm-hmm.
But to always remember, I was Wecha. After it says Wecha UB. Remember, Wecha UB. And I didn't really understand that. I don't understand that now because I remember that so vividly, but I don't understand it. But while I was there, I seemed to understand it. And once I went through that door, I couldn't remember what it was I was supposed to do.
Uh-huh.
When I got back, that was frustrating. But it did, what I always felt like this was kind of a gift. It gave me a reason to feel like there was something I still needed. There's a reason I'm still here. Despite everything else that happened, and as lonely as I felt, I was still here for a reason.
Leah, we have a break coming up. Will you hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right, you hang on. You won't hear anything. You'll be on hold. But hang on. I've got a question or two for you when we come back.
Okay.
All right, folks. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We have Leah on the line with us. You still with me, Leah?
Yes, I am.
All right. Whenever these Indian people... Now, are you talking about Indians from India, or are you talking about Native American Indians?
Well, the regalia that they wore looked similar to Hopi.
Oh, that's right. That's what you said.
But they weren't Hopi. It wasn't exactly. That's what got me so much about the tapestry, because the symbolism that they had around on this, it looked like either it was a really high wall or a cave, but it was, the fire was so bright I couldn't see if there was a sky. I couldn't see it. It looked like a cave.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. But the symbolism, all that was, that's what, it was just like that.
All right. Now,
and when they said Wecha, and the closest I could come to the trying to find it for the last 10 years, looking for anything on Wecha, the closest that I could come was down in Peru.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been able to find out any more, but I did find out they did exist.
Okay. Now, whenever it was time for you to go back, for you to come back, did you come back through a tunnel, or were you just suddenly aware of being back in your house?
It was basically the same way I got there. I had to go through that stone door,
mm-hmm.
and it went. It was kind of like a tunnel, but it was really quick. And when I got back to my body, I have to admit, when I got back into my body, it was with a start. You mm-hmm. know, it almost hurt.
You know what you're describing sounds very, very similar to this doorway that Jerry Wills has talked about down in Peru. It's a stone archway or doorway kind of thing, and I don't know, it just sounds very similar to me.
Yeah, I'd love to see pictures to see if that's what it was.
Well,
because I would recognize if I saw it.
Yeah. I think if you go to Google Images and do a search for Doorway of Aramaru, Aramaru, you'll find pictures of it, and maybe that'll help you some.
Cool. I'd like to find out more. Everything I have found has validated that it was real.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just like everything else, you question your sanity on it and all these stuff that you can't say to anybody else.
Well, you know, here's the thing. The reason that we question our sanity is because guys with PhDs do it. They question our sanity, and they start giving us all these explanations for why that didn't really happen. Okay, here's the point. Whether it actually really happened or whether it happened only in your mind, it makes no difference. It was real as far as your personal experience.
Yeah.
And listen, there are people that hear voices. And what good does it do to tell them it's just in your head? Doesn't matter, they're hearing voices.
Yeah, wrong. His thing is, they're usually right.
A lot of times they are. Listen, thank you for the call. It's been very enjoyable.
Oh, and I wanted to say one more thing.
Sure.
One of my pet peeves is, it's great to have documentaries and UFO hunters on the show and all mm-hmm. these shows that's trying to get some stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
But my pet peeve is all these people shooting other people down who were never there, who never saw it, never mm-hmm. investigated it, and yet come up with more bullcrap that's more unbelievable than the person saying what happened.
Did you see, I agree with you, did you see earlier when I showed the video of the night vision and the thing flying through the sky?
Yes.
I had someone who had not seen that video tell me, it's probably just a flock of geese. Okay, did it look like a flock of geese to you?
It's amazing what people refuse to see.
Yeah. Well, this is someone who hasn't even seen it. And I was giving that as an example of just exactly what you talk about. They weren't there. They didn't see it. But they're giving this opinion as if their opinion matters.
Yeah, like they know anything.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the call,
that's
Leah.
That whole thing out in Arizona, how many people got on there? They never even looked into it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I got to run. I've got other calls lined up. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right. 623-444-5889 is the number to call. 623-444-5889. I know every time I jump on the case of establishment scientists that it angers some, and if you're an establishment scientist and you're pressing for the status quo, and I've angered you this evening, believe me, it's only because I meant to. I will hear from some, but it's like this. If you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, you can tell which one you hit every single time. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming. Kevin, I got a little bit of static, so I hope you can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead, Brent.
Okay, I'm just going to suggest something.
Mm-hmm.
You are anti-ignorance.
Yeah, that's true.
And for that girl from Tennessee who's wanting to look at that store gateway?
Yeah.
It's Aramamuru.
Mm-hmm.
A-R-A-M-U. M-U-R-U.
Yeah, it won't be listed that way at Google.
Well, you can also go to expeditionstv.com.
Well, I didn't think of that, and I should because I was talking about Jerry Wills. That's right. Go to expeditionstv.com, and you'll see video of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that just... Interesting show, Kevin.
Thanks for the call, Brent.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right, 623-444-5889. The only scientists that I don't intend to be painted with this are the ones who themselves paint these establishment scientists this way, and who step out and say, look, why not? Let's check this. Let's see if this can work. Let's, you know, there are people that, there are scientists that say, you can never even, it's impossible to travel even at the speed of light, much less beyond the speed of light. There are other scientists that say, why not? Let's check and see. Well, the ones that say that you can't are establishment scientists, and establishment scientists are intellectual mudsuckers. It is a religion, and it's not science. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
How are you tonight?
Outstanding, sir. Thanks for asking.
I like what you're saying, buddy.
Well, thank you.
I've been dealing with this a long time.
Have you...
when I first started this, Donald Menzel was the expert at the time, if you remember.
Say the name again. Donald who?
Donald Menzel.
Yeah.
He was an astrophysicist.
Yeah.
But then came along Dr. J. Allen Hynek.
Mm-hmm.
He started out with the swamp gas.
Yeah.
And then eventually turned into a open-minded UFO investigator.
He certainly did.
And I have to give him kudos. I knew him, and he was really a fair-minded person.
Well, and see, he started out in the group that I am attacking tonight, but he had sort of a conversion experience. The more evidence he looked at, the more he said, you know, these people are not nuts. They're seeing things that are real.
That's right, and the thing about it, he would look at it.
Mm-hmm.
These people won't look at anything.
Yeah, and you know, they're kind of like an ostrich. You know, stereotypically, you know, you think of an ostrich with his head in the sand.
Sure.
Now, if your head's in the sand, what do you got in the air?
You got lunch meat for the lion.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Okay, take care.
All right. 623-444-5889 is the telephone number. And I know that I am not alone in the sentiments that I've expressed tonight. And I'm not going, this isn't new for me. Those who have been listening to this show for years know that I take this on regularly. I don't blink, I don't blush, and I don't back up. And I am not losing. We are winning. And this article proves we are winning. I hope that the things that I have said over the years and the things that I have written over the years and the things that I say now and even tonight add fuel to the fire and in some way have some impact on why these scientists are crying. I don't want them to not cry. If they're going to continue to pursue their previous attacks and ridicule instead of being honest and open and serious scientists, I want them to cry. I want them to feel the heat, and it's not as hot as it's going to get. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is David in North Carolina.
Hi, David.
Hi. Kind of losing my voice.
Yeah.
I had something kind of odd I wanted to just see if your listeners could comment on. Or, you know, last night, the about the same time, 12 o'clock, I was out looking up in the sky, and I swear the moon wasn't where it should be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was down in the tree level. I could see it through the trees, and now it's like twice as high as it was before. I don't know how to explain it. I was looking at it, and I swear I could see a few flashes of light in where the moon was, but I couldn't see it good because it was through the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like 12 o'clock at night.
12 o'clock at night, the moon should be high in the sky.
Yes, sir. I'm out here every night looking at it, you know, and It was just odd. I couldn't believe it. So I'm curious if anybody else noticed something like that odd last night with the moon.
All right. I have to admit I didn't. I was up at 12, but I wasn't outside, so I didn't. Maybe somebody did. We'll ask. And if they did, maybe they'll call in and tell us.
That sounds good. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Bye. All right, well, if you noticed the moon being low in the sky at midnight last night, well, let's see, midnight, where he is, would be 11 o'clock Central Time, 10 o'clock Mountain Time, 9 o'clock West Coast Time. So if you saw it, let us know. All right, let's go to the telephone line and... Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Boomer from British Columbia. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Boomer?
Oh, I'm good, thanks. Good.
Good.
Yeah, all this stuff about NASA, Kev, you know, I don't know how many of your listeners can, you know, they can download the Hale crater on Mars, and if they've got a simple Photoshop, you know, software, they can actually see the old civilizations by you know, doing some basic enhancements in that. Eh?
In fact, that crater, the photograph of that crater, you can see buildings. You can see. Looks like machinery. I mean, it's phenomenal. Hey, you want to hang on through the break?
Oh, yeah, no problem.
All right, you won't hear anything, but hang on. We'll be back.
Okay.
All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We've got Boomer on the line. Boomer, I had to cut you off because the break took over. So you've got the floor, sir. I want you to be able to finish what you had on your mind.
Yeah, I can barely hear you, Kev. Yeah, I was just... Kevin, I cannot hear you at all.
I'm not talking. I'm waiting on you.
I'll try to call you back.
Okay. All right. Whatever. I know that there are scientists that don't belong in the crowd, and they're not covered by the statements that I've made tonight. Not all scientists are intellectual mudsuckers. There are intellectual mudsuckers who are masquerading as scientists. There are intellectual mudsuckers who have PhDs, want us to believe they're scientists, and all they do is defend the status quo. And they tell us, and not only defend the status quo, some of you tell us outright lies in support of various cover-ups. And we caught you, we catch you, and we expose you. And we don't respect you, and we won't respect you. All right, we have Boomer back on the line. Boomer, the floor is yours. Hello? Okay, well, we you know, how can you honestly think that you're going to get the public to take you seriously when you don't take us seriously? You insult our intelligence, you ridicule, you tell us things that a three-year-old knows can't be true. You try to convince us we did not see what we know we saw. You try to convince us we did not experience what we know for sure happened, and there were maybe hundreds of people present and video cameras rolling, and you try to tell the world that it didn't happen. Now, how can you honestly expect that we are going to take you seriously? We don't. We dismiss you as irrelevant. We ridicule you as being intellectual mud-sucking subhuman toads, and you are. We're not going to let up. Don't expect that it's ever going to get better for you. It isn't. The heat is on. And even if you somehow silence my voice, I'm not the only one. And in my place, there will come hundreds. The only option for you intellectual mudsuckers is to give it up and just come clean and start telling the truth. You've already been caught. We already know your tricks. It's not going to work anymore. Your heyday is long past. I'll give you one quick example. On this investigation of the Roswell incident, where the Air Force has been doing everything they can for 60 years to say that it was anything but a UFO. I mean, first it was a weather balloon. What utter, complete nonsense. And then it was the Project Mogul array of balloons. What utter nonsense. I mean, the records even of Project Mogul show that can't be true. And then the deal about there were bodies, they in their own report that they released, well, it was these dummies that we dropped out of airplanes at very high altitudes, and we were doing tests on, you know, what conditions a body experiences when you jump from very high altitudes. That test didn't happen for 11 years after Roswell. And you think we're not going to notice that? I mean, give us a break. You want us to give you a break. You want us to believe you. Well, you've been caught lying again and again and again for whatever reasons. You've been caught lying. It's not we think you were lying. You've been caught lying. We know you were lying. We've documented that you were lying. And you want us to now to have some respect for you and to believe you? What planet did you come from? If you want the people to have some respect for your opinions, if you want the people, the masses, to take you seriously once again, you got to leave all that behind. You've got to. It's not even an option. You've been caught. And your only hope of regaining any respect among the masses, your only hope, is to come clean. Tell the truth. You don't have another, you don't have a prayer, you don't have a snowball's chance in hell of regaining the respect of the masses unless you do come clean and be honest and truthful with us. And stop all this nonsense science. You think we can't see that? We can see it. We can smell it for miles. Well, folks, it's been this evening quite an interesting evening, hasn't it? I hope that there are scientists watching and listening who really feel the scorching heat of this and make a decision that they've got to give up the nonsense. I hope other scientists who have not engaged in all this ridiculous BS science, I hope those scientists take encouragement from what I've said here this evening, because those are the scientists that I praise as strongly as I scorch the mudsuckers. And in fact, when Dr. Kaku was here on the show, I even told him, if you remember, I think that you can go in our members area and listen to that interview. I think it's in there. That these establishment scientists, I refer to them as intellectual mudsuckers. And he laughed. He thought he thought that was funny. those scientists that are doing science and not practicing the religion of science, those scientists that are doing science, I praise their work. I think they're doing a marvelous job, and I do take them seriously. Those who have been caught engaging in this ridiculous nonsense science and in ridiculing and bashing other people with their PhDs, bring it on, buddy. Bring it on. I mean, do you think that I fear you? Do you think the public fears you? We don't fear you. We don't even take you seriously. And if that causes you to feel some of the scorch, some of the heat, then you're in the group. As I said, if you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, you can tell which one you hit every single time. It's the one that yelps. So if you're yelping, guess who I hit? Each and every night here on the Kevin Smith Show, we explore all kinds of things that are strange and unexplained. And there are people that just because it's strange, just because it's unexplained, want to scoff at it. Not here. It may be too strange for me to buy, but we don't scoff at it. I've heard some really, I have experienced things too strange for anybody to buy. But I've got to tell you, I don't put up with the scoffing. Just remember this. People who think you don't matter, don't matter. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.